R&B, hip-hop status, true more or less, jazz classical type hits. That's the side effect, yeah, but internationally known to play the best hits. Independent radio spins, non-politic, filled with all types of advice. Inspiration through the daily groove that bring moves, pumping straight flavor. Nicki Minaj and a Teddy Riley. So grab your champagne and vibe, meet you in the lobby. Side effect support Lupus, radio blast ride. From Monday to Wednesday, Thursday to Friday, 7 p.m., so keep it tuned on the fly day. The side effect way, you're the highway. 30-minute in they cruise Wednesday. That's Jag on the airway still. The side effect way on the highway. Call 323-784-9635. We live in effect with the side radio.
Wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up.
The side effect.
Get up, get up, get up, get up.
The side effect.
Wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up.
Hey, this is John Witherspoon. Bang, 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 bang. Don't nobody go to the bathroom for the next 35 or 45 minutes. Yeah, boy, you're listening to the Sci-Effect Radio Show.
Hello, world. Welcome to another edition of the Sci-Effect Radio Show. I am Sci, your host. I want to thank you all for tuning in tonight. I do appreciate you. I know you could have been anywhere else in the world, but you chose to hang out with me, your girl, for the next 20, 30 minutes. And I do appreciate you. If you're on Facebook, please, please like the Sci Effect fan page on Facebook. And that's the Sci Effect. You can Google that. Also, if you're on Instagram and Twitter, follow your girl at I Am Sci. I'm pretty much everywhere in Cyberworld. So all you have to do is Google I Am Sci, and you'll probably still find me on MySpace somewhere for real. Tonight's guest is Mr. Bobby Caldwell, singer, composer, songwriter, Mr. Bobby Caldwell. And you may be familiar with Mr. Bobby Caldwell because his timeless classic, What You Won't Do for Love, has been recorded and sampled by more than 100 artists, including a rendition by Boyz II Men. Bobby chose a career in music at the tender age of 17, and he's devoted his entire life to songwriting, recording, performing, and most of all, making people happy. And tonight, Mr. Caldwell is on the Sci Effect Radio Show. We'll be right back right after this song, What You Won't Do for Love by Mr. Bobby Caldwell.
Everything, but you won't give up. In my world,
Welcome, Mr. Bobby Caldwell, to the Psy Effect Radio Show.
Thanks, Psy, for having me.
It's a pleasure. Mr. Caldwell, you've written timeless hits spanning over 30 years. Looking back, did you have any inkling that you'd be a part of music history of this magnitude?
Initially, no, I didn't. You know, when you're young and you get your first opportunity, I didn't think, at least at the time, that, you know, that first album, the debut album, would go so extraordinarily big, and to this day still be as big as it is. Just didn't have a clue.
At what point did you realize, okay, I'm really doing something? I'm really making my mark in music. When did you realize that?
I guess it's, you know, was the radio saturation on What You Won't Do for Love. Remembering the first time I ever heard it over the radio, I was actually in a dentist chair.
Wow. That's crazy. And what was your, I mean, give me the scenario of what exactly happened when you heard it while you were in a dentist chair.
Well, I was there for a cleaning, and I couldn't say anything because he had my mouth open.
Hilarious. Oh, my God. You know, What You Won't Do for Love is my all-time favorite song. I heard it for the first time at 8 years old, and all I remember was how it made me feel, the instrument. At eight, I could feel. I may not have known exactly what you were saying to understand, but the overall song just made me feel good. And even today, what or who inspired you to write such a beautiful song millions still love and can't relate to 30 years later?
It actually was, a failed relationship with one of my earlier girlfriends. And she kind of jilted me. And What You Want to Do for Love was more like an exorcism for me, and ended up being something to so many people. And I, to this day, I still get fan mail about, I don't know, people who used it for their wedding song and then got divorced and then remarried and used the same song again.
Wow.
People who may have lost a loved one, and the song helped them get through, you know, rough times.
Mm-hmm.
It's just it's across the board appealing, and I'm not sure it's about what the message is. I just think it's, like you said initially, there's just something honest about it and naive at the same time, you know. It's
right.
Had a lot of elements to it.
I'm sure you are influenced by many musically. I hear some Frank Sinatra, little Billie Holiday. Who influenced you musically starting out?
Oh, well, you just nailed two of them. And including, you know, everything that came out of Motown and Philadelphia, Muscle Shoals, all that kind of music, like The Temptations and Marvin Gaye, Tammy Terrell. These were artists I was cutting my teeth on, Jackie Wilson, Sam Cooke. And then, you know, even earlier than that were, you know, the Sinatra records. And I grew up in a show business family, and our house was pretty much Sinatra headquarters. So that was that was hard to avoid. And then, you know, when I got into my late teens and early 20s, it was, rock and roll, country.
Mm-hmm.
So my influences are just all over the map.
I read that the music label, the record label that you were with, hid your identity when they released what You Won't Do for Love. Now, I personally think music has no color, especially good music.
Of course it doesn't have any color, but this, and what you read was accurate. And this was a record label that had a roster of black artists who had all achieved success, except for Casey and the Sunshine Band. But their main format was R&B radio. And back in the day, you know, R&B radio wasn't wild about adding white artists to their roster, which I never understood, because if you listen to pop radio back then, there were black artists all over the playlist.
Mm-hmm.
And all these kinds of acts coexisted, everything, you know, from the Beatles to Marvin Gaye, Sinatra, just all kinds of groups. And but not so true with R&B radio. So I think that the plan was, hey, we'll get the record played, it'll explode, and then no one will really care that he's white. And that is exactly what happened.
What was your most fondest memories of performing it for the first time?
This is one of the best stories. When that album came out, and What You Won't Do for Love was the single, Natalie Cole had the number one record in the country with her debut album, and I think that was called This Will Be.
Mm-hmm.
And What You Won't Do for Love was like number 10, I think, at the bottom of the top 10, climbing. And I got a call from Natalie one afternoon inviting me to open for her in her first major tour. And I just thought this was so cool, because first of all, I was a huge fan of Nat King Cole and a big fan of hers. So that worked out perfect. Now, the only drawback was she's playing to primarily large theaters and a totally black audience.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone's coming out to see Soul Brother Bobby Caldwell. Here comes this cracker out on stage with long hair and a hat, and a hush came over the audience.
Oh, my God.
You could hear a pin drop.
I can imagine.
Yeah, that was, if not a fond memory, a big memory. It's also the night I became a man. Because I definitely had the man up on that.
Now, your music, your songs have been recorded millions of times, sampled. I'm looking at the list of people that have sampled your songs, from Tupac to Tatiana Ali, Dionne Warwick, Aretha Franklin, and artists who have remade your songs, Brenda Russell, Roberta Flack, Al Jarreau, Evelyn Champagne King, out of Betty Wright, Johnny Gill, Cheryl Lynn, oh my God, out of all of these remakes and samples, who has been your favorite to redo your song?
Oh, gee.
I know, that's hard.
First of all, I couldn't even give you an answer to that. Any of that, if I could, I wouldn't want to disparage the artist that, you know, I didn't mention. So, at the end of the day, you know, when somebody does your music, it's flattering, you know. And,
yeah.
A big compliment.
What is your process when you're creating music, when you're writing a song? What comes first, the music, the lyrics, a moment that gives you, that inspires you to write? What exactly is your process when you're writing?
I'll usually be sitting at the keyboard or the guitar and either coming up with a series of chord progressions or a melody. And more often than not, the melody will lend itself to what kind of a lyric it's going to be.
Right.
If it's like a sad melody, it's not going to be a happy lyric.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And vice versa. So, and then, you know, a lot of times I'll stumble across something that catches my ear and will keep beckoning me back to finish it. Sometimes, you know, you hit a brick wall where you get so far into a song and then you're stuck. That happens. But when it keeps calling you back, finish me, finish me, those are usually the songs that have the staying power.
You know, the quality of music has changed greatly over the years. Has that change affected you any? As an artist, a writer, producer, have you found yourself having to try to keep up with the change, or you just stay true to what you're doing?
Both. To keep up with the sounds of records today, the way they sound, but at the same time not, you know, not lose what I've established. So, yeah, I mean, it's a youth-driven market now, and it's become tough. You know, the music business has become harder. The lack of radio stations, the lack of retail record stores. And social media has just made it a whole different ballgame. So it's been a learning curve for me.
I see you have a new album out, House of Cards. Have you been spending a lot of time in Vegas? What inspired that album title?
you're talking about the gambling song? Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I believe it or not, I actually lived there for a year and a half, which was pretty rough. I was doing a show at the old Desert Inn called the Rat Pack, and playing Sinatra. It was a lot of fun, but I didn't like living in Vegas. But I guess it was my time that I spent there that got the gambling thing started. I wish I could tell you I made some money. This album was, about 5 years in coming, so I had a lot of time to put together, you know, a lot of material, and the stuff that, you know, I really liked, and everyone else seemed to like it, is what ended up on the album.
Can you introduce the song we're going to play, One of Those Nights?
And, I sure can. You know, this is a... Actually, I did write on my second album. I did write. No, it was the second album. It was the fourth album. See, I don't even remember. I wrote a song called Catwalk about a gambler. And One of Those Nights is a kind of polished up idea about, you know, a gambler who basically does it for a living. And what it's like to play in the back room of a bar with, you know, pretty much professional card players. And, you know, it gave me a chance to, like, experiment with a different lyric approach. And that was fun.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, this is from the House of Cards album. This is called One of Those Nights.
On the Sci-Effect Radio Show.
my claim to fame. High rollers come to know my name. I'm at the top of my favorite game, and it's gonna be one of those nights. In the back room at Stanley's bar, won't mention name.
Dog lover, is that true?
Yeah, I'm a sucker for a nice dog.
What kind do you have?
I have one dog, and we have a large family here, so. But I'm surrounded by women to begin with. my twin daughters, my stepdaughter, my wife, her mother.
Oh my goodness!
And a dog named Stella, who is a. A real bitch, if you mind the expression.
I bet she definitely runs that household.
Oh, you know it. No, she runs it hands down cold. And we're like her servants, you know?
Yeah, I have. What kind of dog is Stella?
Yeah, she's an English bulldog.
See, I have a miniature schnauzer named Timmy, and I'm the opposite. I'm surrounded by men. Although it's two, plus Timmy, my husband and my son and my dog, and Timmy runs the household.
And
so I can relate.
You probably belong to Timmy.
Yes. No one can kiss me, touch me in his presence, or he just claws. He doesn't bite, but he barks. He has this piercing bark, and then when they stop, he stops.
Yeah. I do know. I know. I live it every day here.
It's crazy how possessive they can be, but I wouldn't trade him in for the world, and I know you wouldn't trade Stella in as well.
Well, no, I wouldn't. But, you know, it's nice to have a dog that's awake at least 4 hours a day. For some reason, I guess English bulldogs, they love to sleep. And she is only 2 years old, but, man, she'll sleep at least 18 hours a day.
Wow, I never knew that about English bulldogs. Is she a heavy dog?
Well, her parents were, but, you know, we try to only feed her twice a day.
Okay.
So she's... I think she's pretty much fighting weight, and there's plenty of that.
I can imagine. Now, Mr. Caldwell, what is the most fun part about what you do? I can't say your job, because when it's something that you love, it's not a job. You know what I mean? It's obvious and evident that you love what you do, because you're still here, number one. Number two, you've had this amazing career, and everything that I've seen of you performing is like, you're so happy. Everybody is just so happy. You can see it on your face that you love what you do. What's the fun part about your profession, what you do?
It would have to be performing live. There's a real simple reason for that. So as opposed to making a record or a CD, where you throw it out there and you're waiting for a reaction and waiting and waiting. And hopefully it's good, but the wait is what kills you. Performing live, you know, I pretty much know in the first 5 minutes if, you know, we have a great audience. So it's immediately rewarding. I mean, if everything comes together, the sound is great, the audience is ready to be entertained, and, you know, I find that, you know, more fulfilling than at least the way the record business is today.
During the span of your career, has there ever been a time where you said, okay, the music business has changed, you know, I'm just going to throw in the towel? Has there ever been a time where you felt that way?
Wow, that's deep. Yeah, I mean, I don't know about throwing the towel, but really despondent, you know, sometimes even depressed about, you know, the way it's so radically changed. But, you know, then, you know, I'm out on the road and, you know, selling out places that, you know, just seem to be so appreciative. And, you know, I came to discover that out of all the shows I do each year, and now that I have my own label and my own studio at home and everything, we sell a lot of records out there on the road at shows. And the fans love it. They like to have a chance to, you know, meet you, buy your catalog, whether it's the current one or all the way back. And I think, you know, they'll tell a friend, and the next time I'm there, that their new friend will come, and it's like turning over and getting new fans, and they really do appreciate you taking the time, sitting down, you know, listening to you know, what they have to say. And, they take that away with them, just like the show.
Right. Share something about yourself most would be completely surprised about.
Let's see. Okay. I love to cook and do a lot of it here. Between myself and my wife, and the area of New Jersey that we're located in, it's out in the countryside.
Mm-hmm.
So for us to get to a halfway decent restaurant, it could mean up to an hour drive, you know.
Yeah.
And then and then we're let down or whatever. And we end up, because of that, doing most of our cooking at home. And we can turn it out, Si, I'll tell you that right now.
I can imagine. I bet you can.
We're big Food Network fans.
What's your specialty? What's your favorite dish to cook?
My favorite dish is spaghetti bolognese. I think that's my favorite. And we do a lot of pulled pork. That's just huge here. I don't eat a lot of it, but my kids just swear by it. cook a lot of tilapia fish and okay. with jasmine rice. And, you know, we do just about everything.
Oh, you guys are throwing down over there.
Yeah, we do it.
Well, if I'm ever in the area, I'm gonna knock on your door with a plate and a fork.
Oh, you're a fan, huh? Yeah.
I'm a fan already.
Okay. Well, our doors are always open.
Okay, because I don't want to have to jiggle the doorknob and get my little pick to unlock the door. You know, door's always open. You're like, wait a minute, Mr. Caldwell, you said this door was always open. Why is it locked?
Well, I tell you what, the bulldog lets us know if anybody's at the front door.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah.
If there's anything, if she sounds anything like Timmy, she's probably letting the entire neighborhood know that someone's at the door.
That's right.
Now, you're getting ready to do some tour dates. I'm looking at the tour. You're going to be at B.B. King's on July 26th. You're going to be at the 25th Anniversary Thornton Winery Champagne Jazz Series on August 3rd. You're doing a free concert at the River Raisin Jazz Festival.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to be at the New York Theater. Then you're heading to Tokyo in October. You're busy.
Yeah, but, you know, not as busy as I'd like to be.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that's another aspect of the business that's, you know, I'm not touring as much as I'd like to.
Right.
But it also gives me a chance to be with my kids, who really don't care much about that anymore. I mean, my twin daughters, they're 20, and my stepdaughter is 21. So
how do they feel about your music? They're the same age as my son.
They love it, and they have their favorites. I love a lot of the stuff they listen to. You know.
Mhm. What do you listen to, the new artists that are out today? Who do you like?
I like Beyonce. I love Usher. I think he's awesome. Let's see, who else am I really, really into? I used to be totally into Destiny's Child.
Oh, wow.
That's
so cool.
Yeah, so, and, you know, every once in a while, Mariah Carey.
Mhm. Who would you like to work with? You've worked with a lot of people. Is there anybody that you would like to work with and reach out to and say, hey, I got this song that I'd like to write for you or do with you? Is there anybody out there that you would like to reach out?
Well, yeah, I've always wanted to write with Michael McDonald. And, you know, we know each other pretty good, and I've always talked about it. But somehow, you know, our times just haven't allowed it. And, but that's definitely someone I'd love to work with.
You guys need to make that happen. That will be crazy.
Another guy, yeah. I think it's John Ledger. Yeah.
He's hot.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, we need to put that out in the universe, Mr. Caldwell, because that would be an awesome connection.
As a matter of fact, I just reached out to John Ledger yesterday because I heard through, I think, Facebook that one of my earlier songs is on his upcoming release.
Really?
Yeah. From my second album, a song called Open Your Eyes, that actually Common also made a hit too.
Yes, he should be. I remember that. Wow. Oh yeah. You're on Facebook and Twitter and all that stuff, right?
Yeah.
Are you getting your tweet on?
I sure will.
I followed you a couple of hours ago on Twitter. So I'm gonna reach out to John and be like, John, Bobby is trying to connect with you. You know, y'all need to make this happen. And I'm going to tweet him, and I'm going to put you in the tweet as well. I'm like, we can make this happen. Just put a rush on this.
That would be totally awesome. and for that, you would get that full pork sandwich.
Oh, my God. Okay. You know what? See, I'm on it. Mr. Caldwell, it's been a pleasure, an absolute honor to have this time to speak with you. I thank you so much for coming on the Science Faith Radio Show. How can everybody connect with you?
Hey, thank you for thinking of me. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Now, like I said, you're on Twitter. You want to give everybody your Twitter handle or your website where everybody can connect with you and possibly work with you or ask to do some of your songs, samples. How can they connect with you?
They can reach out to my personal email, and that is one word, Bobby Caldwell Music at yahoo.com, or they can go to our official website, bobbycaldwell.com, and post there or tweet me.
Fabulous, fabulous. Again, thank you so much, and I'm looking forward. I'm going to get the album. I'm looking forward to hearing more music and more collaborations, and thank you so much for coming on the Science Fake Radio Show.
Well, thanks, Ty, for having me. I appreciate it. Really good.
And thank you all for tuning in to the Psy Effect Radio Show. I do appreciate you guys. I hope you enjoyed the interview just as much as I did with Mr. Bobby Caldwell. And if you like the music that is playing in the background, by all means, check out the band that covered this song. They did a beautiful job. Their name on YouTube is Mine Maracazuya. And their name, if I didn't pronounce that name correctly, please, please, guys, forgive me. But I also provided the link on the front of this page on Blog Talk Radio where you can go straight to their YouTube page where you can listen to many other beautiful cover songs that they've done. And you can follow Bobby on Twitter at Bobby Caldwell. You can also follow me on Twitter and Instagram at I Am Psy. Until next time, continue to spread peace, love, and good music. Mwah.